We have been going through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to try to finish it up today, the final chapter, which is the sixth chapter. It has been such a blessing to go through an entire book of the Bible. There's just no way that you can really comprehend the Word of God just by getting practical applications. Practical applications are needed, and we need those, and they're a part of the body of Christ, and they're part of teaching and ministering and preaching. But there's something amazing about going through an entire book of the Bible because it's showing you an overall picture. And it's giving you practical application and wisdom as you go along. And when we opened up the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote that book from prison. He was in prison when he wrote it. He was under guard. It was written in about AD 61. And he was writing it to Ephesians not because of any particular need. When you read the book of Corinthians, you see that there was sin in the church and he was dealing with circumstances and situations. But when you get to the book of Ephesians, it's a strengthening of the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is basically going back and just strengthening what has been established in the believer. And so the first three chapters are about power and purpose. It's about what Christ has done for us. It's about how the world was destined for the wrath of God. And had Christ not came and taken our place and taken the sins of the world, then we would not have eternal life. And out of that knowledge of what Christ has done, we arise and become the people of God that He's called us to be. We're a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are to display the works of God in the earth. We're to show what Christ really is like. That's why wherever we go, we're called and commissioned. Go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak with tongues. Lay your hands on the sick. Let them recover. Cast out devils. This is still relevant today as it was when Jesus walked the face of the earth. The gospel is alive. It's an active, active Christ-like life living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave gifts unto men through the Holy Spirit. You can read those in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, all the gifts that he gave, and he empowered and equipped the church not to be weak, not to be defeated, not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, but to be strengthened and infused. And in fact, Paul prays that in Ephesians 3. He prays that you will be empowered by God's mighty power, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, that life of God that will raise you up from the dead, empower you, strengthen you, and that you would be a body wholly filled with nothing but the power of God. Flooded, infused, enlightened, drinking in God's life and pouring it out to others. And he prays some of the most powerful prayers in the book of Ephesians that you would know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, because when we know how much God loves us, and it takes time. Takes time to learn the love of God. Takes time to learn who you are in Jesus. And even when you know who you are, sometimes the enemy will come and rattle you. And he'll do some things that will make you forget who you are for a moment. But if you just shake yourself in the word of the Lord and in his presence, then all of a sudden the strength of God will return to you. And you will be strengthened again and reinforced again with his mighty power. The Bible says that the righteous man falls seven times, but he keeps rising up. He keeps on getting up. We go forth in power and in strength because our God rose from the dead. That same spirit lives in me, and that spirit gives me the ability to be able to know God and to know his word and to know the truth of God and to be able to operate in it. So that first three chapters of Ephesians, as you can tell, is just a powerful book of strengthening your foundations and knowing who you are. If you haven't read through the book of Ephesians, take your time. Start from the beginning and just go through it. And then when you hear something from the Holy Spirit, then stop and let God teach you something that he wants to reveal to you. Maybe something that was hidden and that he wants to make known to you. And the last three chapters, because of who you are in Christ and because God knows, wants to strengthen you, because you know who you are in Christ and because you realize what God has done for you, how that he saved you, how that he delivered you out of the hands of the enemy, how that he has strengthened you and reinforced you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, because you know who you are in Christ, then he reminds you of how that you're supposed to live. So he gets into practical applications. And you will find the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians talk about the very same thing as far as behavior. Because why? Because God's people are different. They are not like the world. They are not to be like the world. In fact, when the world around is in panic, when the world around is in disarray, when the world around is uncertain, when the world around feels like this could be the end, we are to be the people of light. We are to be the strong ones. We are to be the ones in the spirit that are strong and have the word of God that we, wherever we go, we can help someone and we can encourage someone and we can strengthen someone. So the last three chapters are about behavior, the way that a Christian is to be. We're called Christians because the Bible says Christian means to be Christ-like. So anything in our life that isn't Christ-like is to be put on that cross. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Lose sight of yourself and your own interests and take up your cross. What does that mean? It means you've died to yourself, but you're alive in the Spirit and you're living in the Spirit. I went to Walmart the other day and I was just getting a few things that I needed, and I was coming out, and I'm just walking out, and all of a sudden I heard somebody say, Pastor Rebecca! And I turned around, and it was a beautiful young man that I've loved for so long, and his wife was with him, and she was expecting really soon. She was like, I think in her eighth month, maybe going into the ninth month, and I looked at him and I said, how are you doing? And he said, all of this crazy stuff going on. And he said, I said, are you okay? Do you have food? Do you have what you need? And he looked and he goes, I'm fine. And he said, Pastor, it's a boy. It's going to be a boy. And he goes, but I don't know, with all this crazy stuff going on in the world, I'm concerned. And I just pulled back and I said, let me bless your child right now. And right in the middle of Walmart down aisle 15, I just pulled out my hands and I pointed in that child's direction and I said, God, let this child grow up to be a man of God. Let this child be a powerful force to be reckoned with. Let him be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless this child in future generations. Let him be strong. Let him be bold. Let him be tenacious. Let him be created for such a time as this. And I opened up my eyes. I mean, I know we don't have to close our eyes, but I do. It's a habit, I guess. And tears were streaming down his face. You see, you are to be the salt and the light of the world right now. You are to give hope to the hopeless and to give boldness and courage to the fearful and the afraid. You are to be that voice that says, God is still in control. He's on the throne, and guess what? He lives. And because he lives, we can face death and life with victory. We're not afraid because God is the God of the resurrection. He that believeth in him, even though he perished, yet shall he live. The shakings happen to remind us that we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we are not of this world. Our home is in heaven. We are eternal beings. But while we're here, we have the eternal seed of God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. And that seed of God is released through your words, released through your actions, released through your emotions. And the world is looking and looking and looking to see light coming out of you, hope coming out of you. God speaking through you. Mandisa had a song many years ago, and she said, that was God speaking. Different songs that came up just when I needed to hear them. Ah, that was God speaking. The right text at the right time to bring encouragement. Ah, that was God speaking. Look around you. Don't be paralyzed with fear. God has to have a body to work through. You are that body. You are the hands and the feet of God in the earth. You are the voice of God to someone who needs to hear Him today. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be all that Christ has called you to be. And if the salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing except to be tread under the feet of men. You are the salt and the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Paul said, I am here in this prison in chains, and yet I will send the gospel throughout the world, whether it be by letters. He was in quarantine. Whether it be by letters, whether it be by other people that are assisting me and helping me, I'm going to send the gospel out. And that is why you have it today. Be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Again, he said to Joshua, be bold and courageous. Do not let this word depart from your mouth. But give it, eat it. It is your life, your source. It is your hope and other people's hope. The last three chapters deals with our life and how we are to present ourselves in the world. Last week, we talked about children, and we talked about the armor of a family that has given its life to the Lord. Families that love the Lord, families that are raising their children in the Lord. And we talked about the power of having a godly family, even if you were a single mom or a single dad raising children or a grandmother raising children. You are powerful when your source is God. Raise them in the admonition of the Lord. What does that mean, admonition? It means the doctrines and the teachings of Christ. Raise them in that. And today we're going to get into one more practical application, and then we're going to go into some powerful tips for spiritual warfare. Today, as the world around us is being shaken and everything that is being questioned as to what is going on, and we have all of these different voices that are speaking to us in this hour, I just want you to know that God's word is still relevant today and powerful today. And as we read this word, there are many things that we are going to receive from it today, not just things that are going to be applicable for today, but in the future. And as we, let's go to verse 9 in chapter 6. We're going to go to verses 6 through 9. And then we're going to pull out the meat of what God wants to say to us. Let's go to 5. Let's go to 5. I might read that in the Amplified Version. It's going to give different words that are going to help bring magnification to what God is saying. But I'm going to change servants and slaves into employees, because that's how we do that now. I know that there are still situations, but we're going to use it in that context. Employees, be obedient to those who are your physical masters, having respect for them and eager concern to please them in singleness of motive and with all your heart as service to Christ Himself. not in the way of eye service, as if they were watching you, and only to please men, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God heartily and with your whole soul, rendering service readily with good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that for whatever good anyone does, he will receive his reward from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. You employers, act on the same principle toward them and give up threatening and using violent and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no respect of persons. There's no partiality with him. So the first four verses we discussed last week and talked about the dynamics of the family and how important it was to raise a family in the power of God. You see, God's word is practical. It is for everyday use. And now he's starting to talk to employees and employers. Employees and employers. And he's starting to break down some things that he's wanting them to see. You see, because God cares about everything. He cares about the way we treat people. And he's so concerned about it that he makes sure that we address all of these issues, that he addressed all of these issues in his word. So let's talk a little bit about employers. I changed that part to employers because I felt like it was really important that we get this and we're able to apply it. Act on the same principle toward them and give up threatening and using violent and abusive words, knowing that he is both their master and yours in heaven. That's verse 9. And that there is no respect of persons. So the servants, the employees, are to be obedient to those who are your employers, physical masters, having respect for them, and eager concern to please them in singleness of motive and with all of your heart as service to Christ himself. So I've been an employee. Have you been an employee in your lifetime? We've all worked for other people. And God is speaking through Paul, and he's saying, employees, are you really giving 110% to your company or to your job? Have you, when you go to work, are you giving your very best unto that job? And are you performing in a way that is pleasing? You say, I don't really understand that this has anything to do with what's going on in the world today. I mean, Rebecca, I thought you were going to talk about the things that are shaking and the things that are going on. I am. Because God is a God who cares about everything. There are people that are going to their jobs and they're not performing their jobs effectively. God's concerned about that. They're hiding in the bathrooms when they're supposed to be doing their job. They're going and they're spending time on their phone when they're supposed to be doing their job. And they're more concerned about what's going on in Facebook and Twitter than they are about getting their job done. Now, he says in this word that he will judge that. That he's going to judge that because we're supposed to be giving 110% at our places of employment. Why? Why is Paul bringing this up? Because you're supposed to be like Christ. He goes on to talk about the importance of that employee doing what needs to be done, not just when the boss is there. Because it's easy to put on a show when the boss is there. You know, all of a sudden you start getting busy and you're starting to do all your work and, you know, because the boss is right over in the next room and you've got to make yourself look like you're doing something and, you know. But then as soon as they leave, you go back and park your truck for 3 hours somewhere and stay there. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You go and hide when you should be working. God sees that. That is not Christ-like conduct. And he's calling us on the carpet. He says, you're supposed to be working and serving in everything that you do as unto God, unto Christ. Housewives, clean that house like it's you're cleaning it for Jesus to show up. Do a good job. Really, this is important. We want paid, but we don't want to perform. You do your schoolwork. This is just as important in the area of if you're in college or if you're in school. You don't cheat. You don't lie. He's just addressed cheating and lying in two chapters previous to this. He says, do it as unto Christ. So the question I would ask is your work performance, is what you're giving to your boss as if you were doing it for Jesus, him standing there? And remember, our God is a God of hearts. He goes deeper than the surface. He goes into our innermost being, and he challenges us there. And in this season where everything is being shaken and where things are coming into question in our life, let's not just walk through this thinking this has nothing to do with it. Shakings come to realign things that are out of order. If we were doing everything that we should be doing as a nation and as a people, if our government laws were a reflection of the character and the heart of God, would he not fight for us? But when our governmental laws and our legislatures and our people in positions of authority are not in agreement with God and issuing decrees that are in alignment with God's government, then anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Wall Street is being shaken. Resources are being shaken. Companies are being shaken. Lives are being shaken. Don't waste the opportunity to get to know God better. He says, are you producing for your employers the quality of work that I demand? Christ-like one. And then, because he doesn't want to leave these employers out, he addresses that issue as well. You employers, you masters, act on the same principle towards your employees. Give up threatening and using violent and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no respect of persons, no partiality with God. Employers, give up threatening. Employers, pay good wages. Provide good insurance. Quit putting on one man three jobs and giving him the lowest pay possible. Heavy burdens on families, too great. Some of the hardest workers get the least amount of pay. Some of the most key people in a company get little to nothing to provide their family. America's been out of balance because they will give to athletes to play a game more money than they will give to a policeman or a fireman or somebody that's a key in the community for its well-being, what they need to survive on. We're out of balance. Oh, God is bringing balance. We're out of order. We will pay CEOs millions of dollars and will give the man who's doing all the labor little to nothing. Do you think God doesn't see that? The Word tells me He does. He says, I see everything and I am not partial. I will judge it. If I have to shake the foundations of the earth to bring attention to it. Nothing breaks my heart more than seeing a person work 80 hours a week and barely get enough to take care of their family. But the big dogs, and if you're rich, and if you're in that upper echelon, treat your people well. Come off of those high places and come and walk those in industries. Come and walk out with your people. Do you know Jim over there? His daughter just died 3 years ago and he's still struggling. Do you know about his struggle? Why don't you come down and talk? You see, because my God is a God that wasn't content enough just to say, I am God. But He said, let me come down there. Let me take the form of flesh and blood. Let me walk among my people, Emmanuel. I want them to know how much I love them. That I am willing to take off my robes of power and authority, my robes that are royal, and I am willing to put on the garb of humanity and walk with my people. And there are some people in some companies that need to come off of their high offices and get down into the places to go out in the field and to watch what they're doing. And maybe they will appreciate them more and pay them better. God's not going to hold them guiltless. But our response to that employer who doesn't do that, who sits in that office and brings down those rules and regulations that he really doesn't have anything or she doesn't have any knowledge of what they're doing, can you still respect them? Can you still pray for them? Can you still, as an employee, do your job the best you can by the power of the Spirit and give them over into the hands of the Lord? These are challenging. Aren't they challenging? Challenging. We are called to labor. God has called us to work. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 13, he says, now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep away from every fellow believer who is slack in the performance of duty and is disorderly, living as a shirker and not walking in accordance with the traditions and instructions that you have received from us. For you yourself know how it is necessary to imitate our example. For we were not disorderly or shirking of duty when we were with you. We were not idle, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and struggle, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden or impose on any of you for our support. It was not because we do not have the right to such support, but we wish to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule and charge that if anyone will not work, let him not eat. Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. And now we charge and exhort such persons as ministers in his exhorting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that they work in quietness and earn their own food and other necessities. So what is he saying? If you have the potential, there are people that cannot work. There are people that are physically not capable of working. We're to care for them. We're to love them. We're to provide for them. But there are some that are and can work, and they won't. And there are some that have jobs but do a poor job. God is calling us into account. And he's also calling employers into account. So employees, the questions are you giving your very best for your employer? Or are you trying to get out of your job? Do you respect your employers and or do you talk about them and dishonor them? Do you steal from the company or your employer? Do you take things out of your job that doesn't belong to you? Are you grateful that you have a job? That's another thing. Are you grateful? And are you doing a job like you would do it unto Christ? Do you realize that there is a reward from Christ for doing your best? He said there will be a reward for that. Employers, do you pay good wages? Once again, do you provide affordable insurance? Do you care about the families of children? Do you work with them in the ground so that you can have more profit? Do you work them in the ground? Do you put heavy burdens on them that are too great to be borne just so you can make more overhead? These are things that God will judge. He's going to deal with it. You see, it was the heavy burden that was placed upon his people in Egypt. Their heavy labors, they put heavy burdens on them too great to be borne. They were making brick and they were doing all of these things, building these cities up and building these empires for these higher echelons, for the Pharaoh. And they were enslaving them and they were barely giving them enough to survive on. And God saw it, and he said, I hear the cries of my people and the groans of my people. Realign, or I'll deal with it. These are things that God cares about. That's why they're in the Word of God. If you have a good employer right now, and he has went out of the way through all the crisis that's going on around you to make sure that you have a job and to make sure and they're doing everything they can to comply with laws and doing everything that they can, make sure you thank them. Send a note to the higher-ups. Send a note to your boss. Leave them something on their desk one day and appreciate them. Because if you have a good boss, you need to let them know that you appreciate them. If they have went out of their way to make sure that you're still getting paid in the midst of this crisis, then you make sure to thank them. That's really important. Give back to them. If they're being good to you in this season and you're still doing your part and they're doing their part, oh, thank God you've got someone good that's over you that is treating you well. And make sure you tell them. He goes on in the verse 10 and he says this, in conclusion, because he's finishing up this letter. Remember that chapters and verses were added later to the Bible. These came to the churches as letters. So this is a letter to Paul, and he's at this final conclusion, and he says, and I'm going to read the whole thing through. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the spirits, the wickedness, the powers, the master spirits, the world rulers of this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all that the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on moral integrity and right standing with God and righteousness, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy, the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace, and lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flames and the missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end, keep alert. To the end, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in coupling chains in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to. Now that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord and his service, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may console and cheer and encourage and strengthen your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love joined with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Grace, God's unmerited favor be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying and incorruptible love. Amen, and even so let it be. So he gets down to the conclusion of this letter and he begins to talk about the spiritual warfare that is happening, the things that are going on in the atmosphere, the things that are happening all around us. I think we could all say today that there is a lot of spiritual warfare going on right now. There are things that are happening in the supernatural realm. I don't want you to look at what's happening as if it's happening only in the natural, because if you look at it in the natural, you will not see what God is trying to speak to this age, this time, and this generation. He is shaking the foundations of the world. He is realigning and reestablishing his church. He is causing his people to come out of the world and to be like him and to carry his character and his nature. He is so shaking us and so profoundly shaking the nations of the world. He is declaring that this world is not always going to be and to stand, but his kingdom will always stand and his government and his rule will be established. We forget it. And when the shakings come, they remind us. We are eternal people. We have a God who will judge the living and the dead. We have a God who has already condemned Satan. And though he may be ruling at this present hour and doing his evil deeds, yet God says that I saw Satan, Christ himself declared, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. He is sentenced and condemned forever. There is the spiritual realm being played out before our very eyes in the spiritual realm. And if you're blind, you cannot see. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. These are spiritual times that calls for spiritual eyes. And those are only seen through intimacy with God, through Christ. He is shaking the foundations of the world. He is preparing for himself a bride without spot and blemish. He is walking through the seven churches and he is giving his decrees to them and his issues and his areas that he wants to see changed in our lives. He is telling the world, you must come to me only through Christ. And he is the only door into the eternal kingdom. You cannot come any other way. It's a spiritual battle. And he wants his people to be operating in the spirit so that they're not overran by the master spirits and the demonics that will be coming against you in this season. He says, I need you to put on God's army so that you can, his armor, so that you can stand strong and stand your ground on that evil day of danger. And having done all that the crisis demands, we're doing all that the crisis demands to stand firmly in Christ. Having tightened the belt of truth around our loins, what does that mean? It means that this is your core. And if your core is out or weak, you will not be able to stand in the days of trouble. Your core is right here. Ask anybody who does exercise training, and they will tell you if your core is weak, your whole body is weak. As my daughter put it this way, Mother, it's your core that connects the upper to the lower. And if it's weak here, it will be weak there, and it will be weak here. Your core has to be strong. And he brings that belt of truth right here. And he says, do you know the word? Do you know the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Every word that Jesus taught is for us. We need to go back to some of the Gospels, because what Jesus taught in the Gospels will absolutely challenge your life. I'm in the book of Matthew right now, and I'm reading through that book, and I'm like, oh my gosh, are we living this? Go back to the Gospels and just start reading some of the things that Jesus said, because I'm telling you, it will challenge you to the core. Nobody spoke about heaven and hell more than Jesus. Nobody talked about wheat and tares more than Jesus. Nobody talked about principles and commandments and principles to be lived out more than Jesus. The apostles and the epistles all came teachings from the teachings of Christ. Go back to the Gospels. If your core's not strong, you won't be strong. Go back to the truth of God's word in Christ Jesus and strengthen your core. Having your loins, tighten the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity or righteousness. The enemy can't do much with a person who knows who they are in Christ, who knows that he made, that God imputed through Christ righteousness to us, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, he buffets us every now and then to try to get us out of knowing who we are in Christ. He'll come against our mind. He'll buffet us. But whenever I recognize it in the spiritual realm, I buffet right back, because I am the righteousness in God. He who knew no sin became sin so that I could be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous and I live a righteous life. My conduct does not belittle the righteousness that was imputed to me. We live it out. If we fall, we get up quickly. We repent quickly. And we go on in the righteousness that he has given us. There is strength in that. He's saying, I want you to be strong. I want you to wear the righteousness of Christ. I want you to live a righteous life, because the devil can't do much with a person who knows who they are and who walks and lives it out. And on your feet, the preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability and the prompt and readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're strong in your footing when you know that Jesus holds you in the palm of your hand, when that word brings stability to you, when you have Christ as your constant companion through the Holy Spirit. When you know that, who can shake you? This is the gospel that Jesus Christ himself died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for me. Yes, he gave me his righteousness and wrote my name in the book of life. I spread that gospel wherever I go. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Spread that gospel and live that gospel. It's easily recognized when someone is living the gospel. Lift up all over the covering, the saving faith, that shield of faith, which you can quench the flaming missiles of the wicked one. He's going to come against your mind. He's going to come against you in your thoughts. He's going to come against you through other people. The enemy is not going to stop bombarding you and questioning you when you need to be strong. You have to raise up your shield of faith that says, that's not what the word says. I reject it in the name of Jesus. That's not what Christ has spoken about me. I reject it in the name of Jesus. That is a lie. That is not the truth. I hold up my shield of faith and I say no. When the enemy says you're to fear, to you'll be afraid, you said the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Declare and decree the word of God. Speak it out of your mouth. Hold up your shield of faith. My confidence is in the Lord. I will not be easily moved or persuaded. This helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Greatest battle is right here. Put your helmet of salvation on. It protects you from the lies of the enemy and the voices of what other people say. Remember that song, the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth tells me not to be afraid. This is truth. And when you fill your mind with truth, when the enemy comes against you, you have the sword to fight with. And you can hold up that word of God high. And you can declare and decree God's truth to counter the lies of the enemy that are coming through here, here, through your gates. And you can stand strong. I feel like I need to say this. We're not protecting our gates. We watch things that we shouldn't watch. It's hard to be strong in the Word of God when we're opening up doors to other things. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because what you're hearing here and seeing here is making you weak here. Watch what you spend your time on. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. To fight in a battle, you must know your enemy. But you also have to know your God. Spend time with him. Spend time with your God. It's in the strength of that relationship and in the Word where we gain our ability to be able to stand strong against the enemy and to defeat him and not allow him to defeat us. Right? Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, who, one of our examples, while being in prison and being chained, all he could think about was spreading the gospel of Jesus from where he was. And I think that it's amazing that right now, while many are in their homes, they're spreading the gospel of Jesus where they are. You have brought such an amazing ability to strategize. So what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it around for the good. And now many more are hearing the gospel than maybe would have heard it before. Paul prayed that he would be bold. He said, pray for me that I will be bold and courageous. Pray that I will continue to spread the gospel of Jesus. And I pray that for your people, God, that in the midst of fear, that we would be bold and courageous. That we would not back down in the face of our enemy who is shouting and screaming at us and coming through our ears and coming through our eyes and trying to push us down and make us feel weak and powerless. When my word tells me that I have the power of God living inside of me through the Spirit, my word tells me that I am more than a conqueror through Christ, and I've gained a surpassing victory through the blood of the Lamb. The word of God tells me, be bold, be courageous, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated by your adversaries or your opponents. Find your strength in the resurrected Christ and in the power of the Spirit of God. Help us to be bold in this time. Help us, Lord, to use the time that we have wisely, to realign our lives and to put Christ first. And all of these other gods that had so multiplied and had so stolen our time and our attentions, may they be completely removed out of the way. And may you be put back in your proper place. You are God in my home. You are God in my marriage. You are God in my finances. You are God. You are God all by yourself. And you are to be first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord my God, He is one. And I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. You deserve first place. Let not these shakings be in vain, but may they realign us into proper position before the Lord. If you don't know the Lord and you're listening to this on radio or Facebook and you don't know Jesus, I challenge you to get the Bible that someone gave you that you never even picked up and read. Get it out of the shelf, get it off of the table and start reading. I challenge you to give your life to the Lord. He has a purpose for you. And to turn your life over to God and let Him do what He wants to do through you so that you can have life freely. If you've walked away from God, you backslidden condition, you said, I'm not gonna serve God anymore, I'm done. I'm done with the church, I'm done with the people, I'm done with this, I'm done with that. I beg of you to return, because your God is going to return. And as the tree falls, so shall it lie. Be careful about those inner vows that you make before the Lord. This is the day of salvation. If we sin, we have a Passover lamb that was slain for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died and took the sins that we committed against God upon His body. It is through his wounds and his stripes that we are healed and forgiven and made whole. And now we have access before the Father. We are pleasing before the Father as long as we are in Christ. Come to Christ. Let this be the day of salvation for you. In Jesus' name, and amen.